Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks is what I've been cooking since I've been off the sauce for about a week now. I am loving cooking every single night, so is my family, because we had in the mail, we got this big old beautiful styrofoam shits that I'm going to reuse because I love the environment too. It's two filet mignons, it's two top sirloins, two boneless chicken breasts, or four boneless chicken breasts, two boneless pork chops, four kielbasa sausage, four burgers, four all-ground potatoes, four caramel tartlets, one Omaha steak seasoning package. Plus, you're also going to get four additional kielbasa sausage. And if that makes my math correct, it's going to be eight total kielbasa sausage. All you have to do to get that is go to Omaha Steaks, enter our code ZERO in the search bar, and you are going to get 75% saving. It is going to be a holiday hit whenever you have all that meat coming through. When the whole squad is getting geeked up on protein, you're all going to be happy. And you can do that for $49.99 with the family gift pack from Omaha Steaks using our promo code ZERO in the search bar for 75% off. New song alert. Here we go. Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. I am Uncle Chaps. I'm joined by my co-host, Captain Cons. And let me just say before Cons comes in, when I was a young lad, I used to watch WCW all the time. And my favorite thing about WCW was that the Hulkster, or WWF, was the Hulkster was such an American dude. I thought he was basically like a Medal of Honor recipient because of how American that motherfucker was. A real American hero joins me, Captain Cons. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing excellent, Chaps, and I can remember the first time I heard that song wasn't until college for some reason. I can remember watching wrestling growing up, but I don't remember that song. But then I saw the music video where you got the Hulkster talking about training, saying your prayers, eating your vitamins.
Eating your damn vitamins.
And being true to yourself, being true to your country, being a real American, and that video just got me fired up. So I am on board for the new song.
It's a great video. It is over-the-top cheesy American, but I feel like that you're allowed to do that from time to time. I really like that song. It's no Ric Flair when Ric Flair's Nature Boy song comes on. That song fucking puts asses in the seats because you know you're in for a show with the Nature Boy.
Yeah. Did you watch that 30 for 30? Because I did, and I learned so much that I had no idea about Ric Flair.
You know, I forgot about it. It's going to be shocking for our listeners, but I forgot about something. But it's on my DVR. I need to watch it. Maybe I'll watch it whenever we're done recording here today. I'm excited about our show. One, because we have Kate from Duffel Blog, who's also now from Zero Block 30. Spoiler alert. After the show was over and I interviewed her, I asked her to stay on as our social media person because she's that damn funny. You're going to love the interview with her. She's great. She's everything that the Marine Corps represents in being a lifelong Marine. She's passionate about helping people, and it's really awesome. She's going to fit in great with our crew. Excited to have her.
Yeah, I'm pumped just hearing your conversation with her and hearing her brand of humor. It is certainly a Marine's humor, but with a female twist, which I'll be honest, I can't off the top of my head think of any female Marines that I know. So I'm happy to be having her join us and give her perspective. And in addition to social, I don't know about you, but I could see her joining us for insights on certain topics going forward in the future. So hopefully she's down for that. But either way, it's a great addition to the show.
Yeah, I already asked her about that too. And if she has a topic that she is passionate about, she's more than welcome to come on the show too and get her podcasting feet wet. She's going to be a good fit, Zero Block 30 overall. I'm pumped about it.
Yeah, shout out her Twitter handle because she's a great follow on Twitter too.
Okay, as soon as I pull it up, I can't remember it off the top of my head, which I know is probably shocking again. It's Kate_M_C, so that's pretty easy. Kate_MC. I don't think that's Marine Corps. I think that's actually her name, but it still works out pretty good. I'm just going to pretend that she's that fucking motivated. There's a lot of news happening this week. A lot of news coming out of North Korea, man. I want to start off in North Korea because there was a soldier in North Korea who defected. Now, if you remember our conversations back that we had, two separate conversations, one with Tommy Vitor, one with the other dude. I can't remember his fucking name. Again, shocking, I'm sure. But we had two conversations about North Korea. Defecting there is an incredibly difficult thing to do, even if you're just a civilian. If you're a soldier, it's going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult. I want to read you a story from our friends over at Task and Purpose and what they said about it. A North Korean soldier defected to the south by driving a military jeep to a line that divides the peninsula, then sprinting across it in a hail of gunfire from his former comrades. The stunning escape is a jointly secured area in the demilitarized zone. It happened in a high tension over North Korea's nuclear weapons program, raising fear in the communist-controlled state that a conduct of provocation over the last 2 months was going to end up in a missile testing activity. The soldier was airlifted, and then it just goes on and gives the detail. Having the stones to be in a military jeep and being like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to make a run for it. Insanity, dude.
Not smart in any circumstance, especially not smart when you're talking about the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. Because if you have ever known anyone who has served in South Korea, they will tell you that is a scary area, the demilitarized zone, because if you just take one step too far, you will get snatched up and not given back.
And it's an oxymoron to the 100th degree, because calling it the demilitarized zone, it's the most militarized zone in the world. Like, all that firepower, we've talked about it, that Seoul has so much artillery pointed at it from North Korea that in a second that they could go the fuck off on South Korea if they wanted to. So to sprint over there with heavy armed vehicles, ended up getting shot. They found him lying under some leaves like a couple days later. Just absolutely insanity, man. Insanity.
But I mean, I guess that just goes to show you what's going on in North Korea, that people are willing to be that reckless with their escape method that they need that badly to get out of there.
So we wanted to talk about what, based on that, some great escape scenes that we've seen in movies, because it sounds like that would be a dope movie. Now, granted, it probably only lasts like 15 seconds. You'd have to give like a lot of the background, but it would be like one of those 8 seconds of courage like we talked about with Flo Groberg last week. The first one that came into my mind, and I think one of the most underrated military movies. Let me teach you how to eat. Oh, fuck me. There's music playing in my ears. So one of the most underrated military movies, I think, of all time is Behind Enemy Lines with Owen Wilson.
Oh, wow. Great call. I hadn't thought about that, but that also sparked another one in my head just now. So I'm sorry, but continue. Great choice.
Owen Wilson, if you don't remember, I believe he's a Navy pilot, right? Like
Is it
Navy or Air Force? No, Navy, because they're on the ship.
Yep, Navy pilot.
So he's on the ship. He's like a typical Owen Wilson character, kind of aloof. He's getting ready to get out of the military. He's done all of his stuff. He's kind of bummed that he's never been really involved in any conflict. They're going to take pictures over, I think it was Russia, right? Like it's Russia or somewhere over.
It was over in that area of the world. It wasn't actually Russia, but it was over.
But they were
that
making
area
it Russia. I mean, essentially.
Yeah,
it was
in the Balkans.
Yeah, they were making it like a Russian state, the Balkan state. So they were doing pictures over it, and he ends up getting shot down, and he has to survive. And throughout the entire time, people are chasing him, shooting at him, and he's running down mountains, running through towns. At one point, he lays in a ditch full of dead people, covers himself with dead bodies, and I picture that that's what this dude thinks that he's going to have to. I would have to imagine that he went on, like, Pirate Bay, ripped a copy of Behind Enemy Lines, and then was like, fuck it, let's do it. Let's just roll. And he's like, I'm either going to kill myself, or I'm going to get shot, or I'm going to be in Seoul, South Korea, sipping on chew highs in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's a great choice. And now I'm about to blow your mind with my extensive movie knowledge.
Okay.
So that was a great escape, and he eventually gets saved. He jumps off a cliff, and his buddy is hanging off the side of a helicopter and just happens to grab his forearm, and they fly away. And the other main character in that movie was played by Gene Hackman.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene Hackman was in another great military escape movie, this one based on a true story, based in the Vietnam War, and it was called Bat 2-1. and it was Gene Hackman and Danny Glover. And same type of thing. Gene Hackman gets shot down. He's an intelligence officer flying in one of those big planes that has all the intelligence and the radar and all that good stuff. So he gets shot down. He's the only man from his crew that survives. And then they are able to get him to safety because he knows all the military installation golf courses so well that they map out his escape route as if he was playing different holes from different courses all over the world. So that way the Viet Cong wouldn't be able to decipher, because they don't know, you know, what's the third hole at Fort Sill doing. Mm-hmm. But he, this guy in real life, he knew it. And Danny Glover was the surveillance pilot flying over every night, making sure he was safe. And it is definitely a great escape movie and one that I would recommend, and it's probably not as well known.
Yeah, I'd never even heard of that movie, but that shout out to our guys at 4Play, because who would have ever thought that being a golf guy could end up saving your life if you were captured by the Viet Cong? Not me.
Yeah.
I'd have never guessed it. Bowling, even... maybe. Like, you need to run on a little 7-10 split, my friend.
And even better, it was a true story. I love true stories. So that would be my first choice.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't think Behind Enemy Lines is a true story.
It is not.
I'm sure there's stuff that's similar,
good
though.
Movie nonetheless.
I mean, you don't just come up with those ideas. I'm sure there's something very similar.
Well, and that's what was interesting, is that Gene Hackman was also in Behind Enemy Lines, and Behind Enemy Lines has, when you watch Batu One, Chaps, you'll see the movies are very similar to one another. Very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So based on some truth.
But if you are in a situation like that, like Owen Wilson or Gene Hackman in that movie, you're probably going to come back with a little bit of mental illness. The Army has been kind of blown up this week on social media. That's a bad euphemism. Like, that's a bad analogy. The Army hasn't been blown up this week. It's still good.
Scratch that.
Reverse it. Willy Wonka style. There's been a lot of talk about the uptick in the amount of soldiers who are going to be in the Army. The Army is looking to add 80,000 to their ranks by the end of 2018. Now, for those that don't know, that's a pretty significant jump. I mean, the Army's huge, you have huge numbers, and you're constantly having to add numbers. So whenever you say 80,000, it's not 80,000 over what their normal would be. It's just 80,000. There's constantly people getting in, getting out. It's like any other job where people are rotating in and out all the other time. But going up to 80,000 is a pretty significant jump. In order to do that, there's been lots of talk of them giving out more waivers for mental health waivers, for drug use, like mainly marijuana, alcohol abuse, depression, all kinds of different things. But what do you feel about giving out waivers? How do you feel about waivers, first of all?
I am absolutely in favor of giving out waivers, because I don't think we live in a black and white world. And I think, especially when you're trying to increase the number of soldiers you're enlisting into the Army, you can't be black and white, because black and white is going to eliminate a lot of good people that otherwise would have been great soldiers because they had maybe one small infraction. And that's precisely why we have waivers in place, so we can get those guys who maybe they messed up when they were 17 and they did something stupid and they got arrested. And we then give them a waiver, and it turns out they mature, they grow up to be a great NCO or a great officer, who we previously might have missed out on them had we not given them a waiver. So I'm very much in favor of endorsing that practice.
Yeah, I think specifically when you're speaking about the enlisted side, you will not get perfect people all the time to fill all of those 80,000. You need some rough and tumble people. You need some people who aren't scared to go do some dirty work. Like, I am completely fine with them giving out waivers. And we talked about it offline before. I think it's different whenever you're talking about felony to intent to distribute. Or
right.
If you're talking about some high-level felony assaults or anything like that, and before you go into the military, I think that that's probably something that they should steer away from, and they will steer away from that. But whenever you're talking about possession of marijuana on 6th Street in Austin, or you're talking about a DUI even, like from the get-go, probably not as big of a deal, and you don't want to penalize people and let them not serve and better themselves, because that used to be a huge practice, and a lot of the heroes who came from Vietnam came from that. Like, where judges would say, you're either going to go do a 6-month stint in county jail, or you're going to enlist in the Marine Corps or the Army. And they would go in and they would change their lives, and they would do great things, because the Marine Corps does instill discipline in you. The Army, the Air Force, the Navy, it does instill a different type of discipline. And some of those people just need to be guided a little bit. So I have absolutely no problem. The mental health,
right.
The mental health aspect is a little bit more difficult, especially right now when you're talking about what happened with Bo Bergdahl, because the Army did give him a waiver after he failed out. But he was cleared. Like, it wasn't like a waiver. It was like he went to a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, and was cleared for entry. So I don't know if you can really hold that against the Army at all.
No, I don't think you can. No doctor is perfect. No doctor knows everything. And they did thorough exams on him, and they decided to admit him into the Army and enlist him into the Army anyway. Obviously, that did not pan out well. And again, we are very sorry for the men we lost due to Bo Bergdahl's infraction. But I don't think you should let that one instance dictate how we operate going forward. Now, that's not to say I think we should just let folks in who have mental illnesses. I'm just saying, if after a thorough examination, it's determined by a medical physician that this individual can serve and be a productive member of the military, then I don't see an issue with that. And quite frankly, I don't think I'm in a position to make that judgment, because last I checked, I don't have an MD myself. So I think that'd be a little bit above my pay grade to make those calls.
Yeah, and I think that it just depends on how much it's going to affect you. Like, there is – you can have mental illnesses that are treatable, that you can keep under wraps, that you can – like mitigate some of the things that happen with it, like bipolar. Like, if you are bipolar, you can take your medicine, and if you're on your steady regimen of medicine, you can be okay. Like, a lot of people can be evened out by medicine. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody can, but there's different levels. Just like you can have a grade 1 sprain of your ankle, you can have a grade 3, a high ankle sprain. Like, it could be any number of things. But just to say that somebody can't serve because they had this in their past, one, it doesn't open up people to be honest about their mental health, and I think that's what we need. And two, whenever you start talking about people with mental health only going by a checklist and not going by a doctor's recommendation, I think that you can find yourself in trouble. Because, like, if we had the same exact break in your finger and my finger, the same exact spot, same exact break, who's to say that you are going to say that your pain level is at a 7 and I'm going to say my pain level is a 10 when it really hurts the same? So whenever you're talking about, like, do you have difficulty sleeping? If I say I have extreme difficulty sleeping, that might be different to me than you're saying that I have moderate. We might really have the same level of the inability to sleep, but we're just reporting it in different languages.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then that's where I think you have these doctors who know how to decipher and better understand what that actual level is based on what the person is telling them. So I have to agree with you that I think we need to continue things as they are and allow certain individuals to join our military while keeping out others that would not necessarily benefit from serving in the military.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that you have to let anybody in by any means. I think that you definitely do have to have certain levels of standards, because there's a lot of people who will join just for the uniform. They'll be like, oh, damn, the Marines look great in dress blues. I want to do that so I can go get some nice little vagina. There might be some people that look at you and your Army ACUs and be like, damn, those are some nice boots. But if you want boots, you don't just have to join the military. You can go to ThursdayBoots.com and get some really damn good boots. Money, power, a great pair of boots, you can have it all. Want to know how I know? Because I have like 5 pairs of Thursday boots at this point. I have my ones that I absolutely love that I wear everywhere that are made out of footballs. I have ones that are dark leather, brown leather. I have black leather. I have wingtips. I have suede wingtips. I have boots out the ass, dude. And I got them all from Thursday Boots because I won't wear anything else. It's that easy. It's money, power. It's great boots. All can be yours with limited action. And I have pretty inside information. You ready for some inside information?
I always love inside information.
So ThursdayBoots.com, if you use the code FREESHIP today, it's going to be coming up soon. It's going to be during their Black Friday to Cyber Monday special. Every single pair of boots that they sell during that time, they are going to give 10% of that to military charity organizations like Canines for Warriors. And I talked to one of their people. Last year, they sold thousands of boots, and those boots start at like $150. They're great, great boots. They probably should be like $400 bucks.
Definitely.
But they are going to give 10%, and you could choose which organization you want to go to. They're going to have breast cancer awareness, I think, is one. They're going to have most likely Canines for Warriors is going to be another one, but it's going to be a veteran organization. So go and support these people because they're doing great things. Thousands of pairs at $150 is going to end up being a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, and it's a great deal because, like you said, these boots are more than worth. They're worth a lot more than what we're paying for them, and they're extremely comfortable. And I can't stress enough how awesome it is to know that the first time you put them on, they're comfortable. There's no break-in period.
And we're not bullshitting because we don't go on and on about them. Like some advertisers like we do with Thursday boots. They're like legit good. All right.
Yeah.
So we'll move on a little bit. We have our interview with Kate coming up. We're going to jump into that now. Here's Kate. Well, now on Zero Block 30, I'd like to welcome a former Marine, but she still gets down Marine. I actually saw her getting nuts at Cookies in Philadelphia this past weekend for the Marine Corps birthday ball. She was getting out there taking pictures of random people wearing their incredibly red Marine Corps jacket with all their motivation. She writes for Duffel Blog. She's doing all kinds of stuff. She's a hilarious follow on Twitter, so we'll have to give you her Twitter follow as well. Kate Manon, welcome to Zero Block 30.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So we wanted to talk to you because I find your stuff to be very, very funny. I find everything that Duffel Blog does to be funny. And for people who aren't familiar, it's basically like The Onion for veterans, I would say, or for military members. Would you agree with that?
It's the American military's most trusted news source.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't tell you how many times since I've been working at Barstool that somebody sends me a Duffel Blog link and be like, can you believe that they're doing this? And I'm like, Secretary Mattis isn't actually going to knife hand somebody to death like as part of the court-martial system. And that's just what
some of them
are just so outrageous. The one that you wrote this week where it's just so poignant and so hilarious for people who have a lot of veterans on Facebook. Can you kind of talk to us about why you wrote the one that you wrote this last week where the veteran didn't make a rant outside of his truck?
Oh, yeah. Veteran stuns military community with like viral rant outside of his truck. I see it all the time. So many of my Facebook friends are military and they're always sharing that, like, here's what we can all agree on with kneeling for the flag. Here's what we all, and then it's some guy sitting in his lifted truck just screaming into the camera about God knows what, and everybody's like, damn right. He's absolutely right. And normally it's like a little sexist or a little racist there or a little splash of racism,
like you took a salt and pepper shaker of racism and just like sprinkled over the entire conversation.
Just a dash, you know, like Salt Bay of racism. but yeah, it just, they're always so cringeworthy to me. And I hate when I see they have like millions of views and I'm like, oh my God, this is what the public is watching. And that's how they think like veterans are. And we're not, you know, we're not like that.
It is. Well, it is funny how people think that veterans are like-minded. All of us think the same way. Like, just because we march in formation, we think in formation as well, and that everybody has the same exact thoughts on everything, when that's just not the case.
No. We do all love drawing dicks, but that's, like, where the buck stops. So.
If you want to say that all veterans love to draw penises over vaginas or tits, then I think that you'd be spot on there. And you'd have to look at every single porta potty that was left behind in Iraq to show that that's actually true.
I've wanted to do a coffee table book for a long time that just documents port-a-john dicks in the military. So a little project that
I would definitely buy that book for sure. Okay. Speaking of combat operations, you were on the female engagement team in Marja in 2010. Can you kind of explain to our listeners? We have a large audience of civilian listeners. Can you explain what a female engagement team does?
Sure. Well, you know, obviously there's a huge cultural difference, and over in Afghanistan, our male military cannot, I mean, even to look the women's way is offensive, can't go underneath. They wear full burqas, especially down in areas like Marja. And so when it was just infantry out there, there was nobody who could search these women and search, you know, if they're all in the back of a vehicle, you can't search the back of that vehicle. And also just getting atmospherics on the villages, you're only hearing from half the population. You're only hearing what the males think and what's going on that way. So they created this all-female company from officers down there was about 40, I think there was 42 of us. And we trained with infantry battalions before we deployed. And then we got sent out in groups of two to infantry battalions all over different AOs in Helmand Province. I was with 3-6 and 2-9. And basically, I lived in little villages at the little outposts. And if they needed somebody to search, I was there to search. If they wanted to interview, they thought this guy wasn't so great, well, I got to interview his wife or all of his wives, you know?
Right.
and it was just kind of a link. And then I also worked with non-governmental organizations to get things like sewing machines and fabric to give out to the people to kind of build hearts and minds. So it was just such an awesome opportunity. At that time, not a lot of women got to be on the front lines full time and to be attached to infantry and to see what they do on the day to day. And it was just really an incredible experience. And to get to know the Afghan culture too, the women were just awesome. And it was really cool.
Yeah, I think when I was in Fallujah, it was one of the more striking things that happened to me whenever we would go to places and we didn't have a Lioness team with us. And going to the houses, basically strip searching the men, doing whatever you want to the men, and then leaving the women completely separate because you weren't allowed to touch them. Like, you could do whatever you wanted to the dudes, basically strip them at butt-ass naked right in the middle of the street, and nobody would bat an eye. The moment that a male Marine would even, like, look in the direction of a woman, the entire town would be in, like, an uproar. So having the female Marines there must have been invaluable to the infantry guys.
Well, it took a little convincing at first.
Oh, I'm sure. One just like, yeah, bring on the ladies. Because those fucking grunts aren't having that shit.
That's when I first got to Leatherneck, I would go down to the bazaar and I would practice my pashto with the bazaar, the shopkeepers. And they would always give me like tea and food and stuff like that. And I was like, well, it's rude to say no. So the very first like week or two that we were there, it was like the night before everybody was supposed to get sent out to their battalions. And I remember I was like walking down this moon dust path and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I got the worst food poisoning of my whole life. Shit my cami pants, man.
There you go. True badge of honor. At Barstool, we're big shitter. We shit our pants all the time. It's part of our charm.
Perfect. But so they all got sent out without me. So I got held behind at Leatherneck. Well, they had to like make sure I was okay. I was so dehydrated and so sick for like a couple days. So they all got like kiloed out to the positions. Well, I got stuck on this convoy. They were already all out there and they were dropping me off. So I was so nervous. It was my first time outside the wire. I wasn't nervous, scared. I was like, don't let me look like a fucking idiot. Cause like, I know how grunts feel about pogues and especially a pogue with a vagina.
Yeah.
So,
shout out to you for having a vagina.
Thank you. fabulous. I got out there and the first thing, like this convoy was so long and I had to pee so, so, so bad. And they get out to the spot where they're dropping me off out in Marja. And I'm like, don't look like an idiot. Don't look like an idiot. But the first thing I did was run over to the porta shitters, just plywood with like an ammo can. But I saw this tube sticking out of the ground and I had all my gear on. I was running. I was like, oh, perfect. I like put my Kevlar on it. It was their piss tube. And the guy, somebody was like, fucking poke. Somebody yelled something out that was like, you're a fucking idiot. And I was like, oh, shit. That's like my first impression with these guys.
And it immediately has to go back on your hair and you got piss hair for like days.
Exactly.
It's not like you have
a lot of ammonia.
It's not like you could bring your dry shampoo and shit out to
Marshall. Yeah, no, that was just piss in my hair. And so that was like my first impression with them. And I was like, that's not how I wanted to start this, but all right.
Yeah, my first impression was pretty similar where I worked with a reconnaissance unit and had no idea what I was doing. And they were telling me to get in this like tactical formation. I was like, dude, I haven't done this since MCT. Like, I thought I was going to be like a vehicle checkpoint guy. Now I'm out here with recon. I have no idea what you're saying.
Yeah, it's definitely and different. So I would get sent out to some of the different FOBs and some of the units were way more receptive than others. But in the end, especially shout out to 2-9 Echo. They were the best. They were like, all right, maybe you're not our. We don't want to pass out sewing machines, but that's the mission they tasked you with. That's what they told us we have to do. And, you know, we're in this kinetic area. It's probably the last thing on our minds, but we're going to embrace it. And
Where did
they
that
just really brought us into?
Where did that acceptance come from? Was it more from the top down, or was it the junior level troops really started to like gravitate to you guys?
In particular, it was their platoon sergeant, the commander there on that particular. Well, I already said who, like Tuna and Echo. So yeah. They were all great. They were all wonderful.
They were all good. Everybody yeah, was so good. Wonderful.
But it was definitely their platoon sergeant was awesome. It was just like, guys, she's here, so that's it. There's no discussion, and go from there. And it was awesome. They were really cool, and getting to go out on the patrols and see the villages and get to know the people. It was really cool.
Do you have any moment that was like the most impactful for you? Like, hey, we actually might be doing a little bit of good here.
Man. Holy quagmire, Batman. Yeah. I don't know. there was definitely moments where you could tell you made a real connection with people, but it's so hard to say.
Yeah, for us it was like where you could look whenever you were leaving someplace and you had given them something in return where they're like, maybe these people aren't just savages who are killed here to kill everybody.
That for sure. There were, to see, I guess it would be this, to see that between the guys who go out on patrol all the time and some of the locals, there was genuine friendship there. Some of the relationships that they made were genuine, and you could see the mutual respect. Like, I get what you guys are trying to do, but I also see that you guys understand where I'm coming from, and that, you know, they weren't just out there to fight and to mess up the village. Like, they were really there for good, and you could see that some people really saw that. So.
Then when you came back, and what made you want to get out? You were just kind of over it, or?
Oh, man. My recruiter was like, hey, how about a 5-year contract? What's another year? And I was like, yeah, sure. What's another year? At year 4, I was like, oh, my God. I was almost done college when I joined. I had one semester left, and I dropped out over Christmas break and joined the Marine Corps. Merry Christmas, Mom and Dad.
All right.
So I knew I wanted to finish school. I loved my time in the Marine Corps. Still love Marines the best. But I also knew that that wasn't, from the beginning, it was never like a career for me. So when my time was done, I just wanted to go to school and finish and just get back out into the real world.
Did you know that you wanted to like write, or is that something that you're just doing to pass the time, or what's your end state? Because I know you're in school now, right?
Yeah, so I kind of took a, I'm like kind of going in a different direction now, but when I first got out, I moved to New York City, and I went to Fordham University for communications. And while I was there, I got involved with The Mission Continues. Mm-hmm. And it's this group that links up veterans with volunteer opportunities in their community. And I had a fellowship with them while I was going to school full time. And Jon Stewart at The Daily Show reached out to The Mission Continues and was like, hey, do you guys have any veterans who are like communications, TV production, this, that, who are in New York City? I want to do this program. Well, he was already doing it. It was like the second or third semester of it, where I have them come to the show once a week. And like literally the first time you get there, you walk into the writer's room in the morning with them. You sit with them through the building all day long as they write the show, and then you get to watch the taping. Then you get to pick their brains about TV production. So it was like a once a week thing. And so I got accepted into that program. It was because I volunteered with The Mission Continues that I was given that opportunity. So if you're a veteran out there, you know, definitely check them out. A lot of cool things come your way from them. And you get to do good.
So what did you love your time there, and you now you want to work in TV, or you want to do more writing stuff, or what's your end goal?
So I remember sitting in the writer's room that first morning, and they're all just sitting around. It's like when you're with your best buds and you're watching TV and you're all just like ripping on whatever's on TV, and just like those dumb like moments where you're all just like joking around and stuff. And that was like, oh my God, they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're extremely good at it and they work their asses off in the comedy scene for a long time to get there. But I was like, I cannot believe this is a real thing that people get to do. Holy crap. Cause I was kind of not sure what I wanted to do before that. And that was it. It like lit a fire under my ass. I started doing stand up and improv and sketch. I started writing for Duffelblog. I got really into the whole thing. And then when that ended, I graduated right as that program was ending. And, through them, I got a job at Comedy Central in the production department there. And I was there for a little over 2 years. And while I was working there, I was doing just a lot of comedy stuff on my own on the side. And then family stuff happened.
Yeah.
Kind of suddenly I had to move back down to Philadelphia. And so now I'm kind of reassessing what I want to do. So I kind of took a break for a little bit.
Is this the family stuff the divorce, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you about that because some of your posts on Twitter about your adventures in Bumble being a female veteran are pretty fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
So you like to say that dudes have a really weak Bumble profile. Give us some advice if you're a single dude out there of what they need to be doing on Bumble.
First of all, lay off the selfies.
Yeah.
Especially if you have crazy eyes. Don't make every single picture with your mom or every single picture with your dog or every single picture with you chugging a Natty Ice.
There we go.
From what I've seen, don't make your first picture you getting a lap dance. Don't hate women in your bio. It's like some of the bios are just like, why are you here? It's like, if you're a bitch, don't talk to me.
That's a good opening line, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, damn. Well, I'm a bitch, so. There's just so many weird profiles, and I'm like, let me help you. I feel like I want to start like a consulting company. And if you don't write a bio, next. Not
right,
interested.
Yeah. How do you not? See, I am so glad that I'm like out of the dating world because even though like I do an okay job on Twitter, I feel like I would be the worst at like Tinder because I would try to make it so funny and people would be like, this dude's a try-hard loser.
Oh my God. And it's like the same joke on the bottom of like 50%. This line I see all the time. I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. I've seen like 20 guys with that on the bottom of their profile.
If it's from The Office, it's probably been used like a million times.
Yeah. It's like always the same joke. It's always like holding the kids. Again, don't make your profile pictures all of you with kids. I don't care if you have kids, but yeah. And then I was wondering for me too, like on my end, like, should I put that I'm a veteran or like,
I think you should go the opposite end of what you were talking about, like in your Duffel blog post recently, where you should just take pictures of you ranting in a lifted truck and just get like, be wearing like an Affliction shirt with like a Don't Tread on Me sticker behind you.
Yeah.
And just go full on vets and just have like Moulin Lay, like Don't Tread on Me, like everything that you could possibly do that's like cliche veteran. I think you should do that and just see what kind of dude you get, because there's gonna be some dudes that are like, hell yeah, all I want is a woman that will go to the range with me.
I want somebody who can really make map chop my balls. Who knows what kind of weirdos that would be. Well, I just saw one of the profiles I just was scrolling past. His bio said I was a United States soldier and blah, 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 but I don't let that define me. And then every single one of his pictures was him with, like, face paint, like, in the army, like, out in the field. I was like, are you sure?
I'm not just a veteran, but here are all my medals on a DD-214.
Yeah.
Prove it, bitch. Don't doubt me.
It's just weird. So, like, I don't know whether to put that or, like, what kind of dudes that would reel in. And, like, you know, there is that sometimes that stereotype of women Marines, especially, like, oh, she's a slut, and, like, would like military guys, do they think that? And if they see that I was, would they be like, oh, no way, I'm not like talking to her. But then again, I wouldn't want those guys anyway. So
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, you wouldn't want those guys anyways.
Yeah, brush it off.
Fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
Actually, you're not going to fuck those guys.
Yeah, totally not. But yeah, precisely. But yeah, so now I don't know, but it's been fun. Like And then swiping through, like, not everybody's my cup of tea, but I'm such like a hard. I'm like, well, they're all just wonderful. Look at all these wonderful people out there doing all sorts. Like, I still like to see all the different personalities, and so I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be a weird scene to be back on the dating scene and going back after it. But you're doing a great job at Duffel Blog. You're doing a great job for being a veteran. Like, and people that follow you, it's like a who's who's of veterans list. Oh, speaking of who's who's, you made the who's who's of veterans for Task and Purpose. Congratulations on that. I think you were like the first one on there too.
I'm number one.
I think you were like, you were the first one on the article, I think, right?
Yeah, I was.
There you go. Yeah. Nailed it. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And you're utilizing the VA. Oh, before we go, I wanted to talk to you about women's VA shit. Can you kind of talk about the struggles of being a woman going to the VA?
Well, it's just so So I lived up in the Bronx for a while, and trying to get my VA ID card there and everything. It's always not always, I'm sure there's great places out there, but like at the one I went to, they were like, who are you? They like didn't think I was a veteran, which is fine. There's a small percentage of us, whatever. And then just trying to get my ID card was hard. And then the women's wing, like I guess wherever they just send the guys right off the bat to get assigned your like physician or whatever, I guess they only send us to the women's wing. It's not just for like mammograms and ladies stuff. Like that's where they send you. And
it's like 4th Battalion all over again.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of, maybe it wasn't a lot of staff, but my wait, it was like, I just tried to get like a basic appointment and the wait was like 4 months or something like that. It was super far out just to see a basic care provider. And then the same thing here, I just registered down with the Philly VA, and here everybody was wonderful, like overall really great experience, but I can't see, it's over a 2 month wait just to like see a basic provider, which is just kind of a bummer. Like, I don't know. I want my healthcare, man.
Right. But, and everybody does. And it's a frustrating thing. And I think that we constantly talk about with VA care, how they have to get better with mental health, with PTSD, with all those type of providers. But we ignore the fact that there's a large, I think it's 12% of all veterans who are female, that they really struggle getting in there and getting just basic things like birth control, like to be able to go get birth control, to be able to go get mammograms, to get any type of women's health specifically. It takes a lot longer than a dude that's like, hey, my dick's kind of fucked up. Like,
I made an OBGYN appointment in the Bronx, and they're like, oh, honey, that'll be like, see you next year, like forget about it. It was like such a crazy long wait, so I was like, all right, never mind. But now that I'm back on Bumble, it's very important to me.
Yeah, right.
Get that.
Yeah, because when you're married, it doesn't matter. Like, you can have all kinds of fucked up shit, but when you're out there in the single game, you can't like let somebody see the weird stuff that's going on. I don't know about vaginas, but
no.
Whatever happens there, happens there. Kate, thank you so much for taking the time. Hopefully, we'll have you back on again. You were great.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
All righty. What I found interesting about Kate's story is that she was like so many other different military members. Like, she was in college, she was almost done and just like, fuck it, I don't know what I want to do. I want to go join the military and do this. She went down to a recruiter and she got herself a damn good job. If you're looking for people to fill a spot in your place of work, go to ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter is where you can post your job to 100 of the leading web's leading job boards with just one click, so you can know easily that your job is going to be seen by the right candidates. ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching machine technology actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one damn day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, my listeners can post on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/zero. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zero. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/zero. Get people in your jobs, the good people. Hire vets, folks. Look for vets. Hire vets. We always encourage that, too. Kate was great, right?
Kate's awesome. I will admit I had no knowledge of her prior to that.
Oh, yes, you did. Funny. Yes, you did. Because okay.
Well, hold on. Let me – hold on.
All right.
Until I pulled up an article that said these are the 46 – best veterans to follow on Twitter. And at the top of that list was Kate. So kudos to us for getting her and having her join Zero Black 30. But also on that list was a one, Uncle Chaps.
That's right, baby.
Congratulations,
I made the list, the big time list. And there's a lot of former Zero Black 30 guests on there, too. Like, I think Rob O'Neill was on there. Alejandro Villanueva was on there. We've had several of their people on there. So the 46 most, it was nice to be in there, even though I feel like they're just throwing me in there because they had to, because I feel like all of our fans on Barstool would have blown them the fuck up if I wasn't on there. But it was good. It's nice to be mentioned on there.
But you deserve it. I will say you deserve it. And, you know, although it was on Task and Purpose, if you guys want to Google, just Google Task and Purpose and should pop right up. But I think it's very well deserved that you're on that list, especially when you consider the following you have on Twitter, on Instagram, through our podcast. So congratulations. It's always nice to be on a list.
Yeah, it'll be nice because I don't think they double dip and you can be on there next year. So we'll have somebody represented on there next year as well. We have a little bit of news to say. I'm going to another Marine Corps ball. This time I'm going to Vegas, and I'm bringing Erica Nardini with me, the CEO of Barstool Sports. So I'm pretty fucking stoked to be with her in Vegas and kind of – I'm not speaking at this one. I'm just going to go as, like, a Marine and help Erica – and not really help her, but just kind of show her some of the backstory of why I'm so passionate about the Marine Corps and the Marines. So I'm pretty excited about that. What do you got going on this weekend?
I am actually making another college football trip out to Penn State. My lady's family and her are all Penn State folks, so I'm going to go out there and catch a game. But speaking of Erica, I think it's awesome that you are bringing her to that ball. I think it's awesome that Erica takes such an interest in the military, as was evident this past weekend when I had her up at Army for the Army versus Duke game, and I had her on the field, and I was telling her all about the history of Army football, and we had a Heisman Trophy winner that was 5 feet away from us, so she thought that was pretty cool. So although I can't make it to this ball, I do appreciate the invitation. Although I can't make it, you guys will be well represented.
Yeah, and whenever you go to Penn State, make sure that you make some good bets with MyBookie. If you need holiday cash, you need it, you know where to get it. MyBookie is a place to score serious cash for your sports predictions. I'm going to be placing some money on my Jaguars this week. I don't care what the spread is. They're going to destroy the Browns and end up 7-3. I can't wait. So excited about that. 7-3 Jacksonville Jaguars, baby. I can't believe it. Man up and play like the pros on the money line, the side total. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. It offers super fast payouts when you win. Where you get the bet is important as where you bet is as important as where you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting the games, go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I recommend. I trust them, but if you don't have to take my word for it, check them out yourself. Join mybookie.ag today. Use the promo code zero to activate the offer. You get MyBookie's 50% bonus this week. 50% bonus if you put it in. So if you put in $100, you get $150. Can't beat that because most of you guys are going to lose money unless you're betting against the Jaguars. Why not start out above? So in case you lose on one, you didn't really lose anything. You're playing with house money, my friends. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. Any save rounds, alibis?
December 1st is fast approaching. OperationHOH.com for tickets to the Operation Healer Heroes End of the Year Gala. Venmo is still open, Captain Cons. Chaps, any insight if you will be able to make that or if we will be preoccupied with the following week with Army-Navy?
I think I'll be Army-Navy, and then I might be going out to the Rough and Rowdy thing too. So
okay, so that's a packed 2 weeks. Can't make it three. You have a family. This isn't a deployment. We got to keep you home as much as we can.
Be a lot of traveling. I've already done a lot this month too. Before we go, we said that we would touch on this. We're going to touch on it very briefly. Terrible story of two Navy SEALs who are being investigated in the strangling death of an Army sergeant in Mali. He's a Green Beret who had been cut of the military money. They pocketed, but he refused the money. Megler confronted two SEALs after discovering their alleged scheme, where they reportedly took money for themselves from a fund used to pay informants. So kind of explain, did you have to do any of this whenever you were in Iraq? Did you give money to civilians?
Like, yes, we did.
So explain what that process looks like.
I'll keep it really high level. It's not something where you kind of just have run of the lot with the money and you have X amount of dollars, you can do with it as you please. If you want to pay civilians in foreign countries, there's a significant approval process as well as a documentation process. Because obviously when you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases, sometimes millions of dollars that soldiers, NCOs, officers have access to, it could be very easy for money to just disappear. So the fact that there are reports and there's an investigation to where money is being skimmed off the top, I hate to say it, but that really doesn't surprise me just because of how easy it would be to skim that money. But it's, you know, it's on the NCOs and the officers to have that intestinal fortitude to always do the right thing and not essentially steal money that doesn't belong to them and is appropriated other places. So this situation is not unfathomable, but it is very unfortunate, especially when you consider that a very accomplished soldier died as a result. I don't want to comment too much further because it's still an ongoing investigation. Yeah, and I think that wouldn't be prudent for us to really form opinions without final information.
Yeah, and it is one of those stories that really jumps out at you because it's not what you expect from special operators. You expect them to be above the fray. And we're not saying that they're not. I mean, the investigation hasn't – I hate to see it, to even talk about it. Connor and I went back and forth on if we were even going to bring it up because it's an ongoing investigation. People's name can get dragged through the mud, and if they deserve it, then they deserve it to have their names dragged through the mud. But we hope that's not the case and some more stuff comes out and it wasn't actually them. But who knows, man? It's a fucking tough situation.
Yeah, and you talk about the special operations community, and Chaps, you'll have more insight into this as you did work with Marine Recon. When you're a special operator, a lot of times you have a lot of autonomous operations. And what I mean by that is, you're away from the flagpole. And you are, just like you said, you know, they're a cut above. They're above the fray. So they're given a lot more leeway. And there isn't as much oversight on them as there are on traditional units. So, again, that's what makes me believe that something like this is plausible because – you know, they're expected to just act the right way at all times. And if no one's really checking on you and if there's money at your disposal, it is possible that, you know, somebody was taking money and they shouldn't have. But again, we'll wait and see until all the final details come out to comment any further.
Yeah, the key word there is command discretion. And I think that different commands have different levels of discretion. A Navy SEAL like SEAL Team 6, that kind of group, a Green Beret group, a reconnaissance group, their commanders have a little bit more command discretion with the with the money that they're given.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have as much checks and balances as far as that goes. Like when we were in Fallujah, you had stacks of cash. And honestly, a lot of times that cash that you have was stuff that you seized. It wasn't like it was coming out of any any pool of money. Like you could seize money and then give it out to different civilians to be informants. And that shit works. And it's part that really helps shut down an insurgency in a certain level of is commanders having that discretion on the ground. And having command discretion on the ground is very, very important because what happens if you have to – the longer you wait, the less likely you're going to get information. That's true in any type of combat scenario. The longer you have to wait, the less valuable the information because time is fleeting. So, yeah. So last Marine Corps ball of the year. I'm kind of stoked that ball season's over. It's exhausting. You can only watch the same video so many times. I had a great time with the fellas up in Chicago, fellas and lady Marines up there. It was a great time to be with them. So shout out to the Chicago Marine Foundation who donated tons of money. I think we had 700 guests and they were charging $60 a pop. They didn't have any overhead. They got the place donated to them, the alcohol donated to them, and every single cent that they made through both raffles, through 50-50 tickets, through tickets at the door, everything went to the Semper Fi Fund and one other military charity. So it's a great organization to be a part of. Thanks, Mark. I know you're listening. Thanks for inviting me out. They actually do the Old Crew Rugby. Old Brig Rugby is what they do up there, and they raise money. It's a bunch of dudes who are on the All-Marine Rugby team. They get together. They still play rugby in their 50s, 60s. I think they even said one dude's out there. He's 75 years old, still getting nuts in the scrum. So just lifelong Marines, man. Lifelong Marines. It's incredible. You got anything else, buddy?
Nothing else.
All right. Sound the retreat.